The following program is being brought to you on the Seventh Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit SeventhWaveNetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit VoiceAmerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.
The status quo discourse says there is something fundamentally wrong with sex. We live in a world of conversations attempting to control the source human instinct, the power to procreate. Welcome to Sex and the Divine Design with your host, Mookie Okon. It is the original divine design that ensures the continuation of life. Get ready for an enlightened discussion. Now, here is Mookie Okon.
Welcome. Welcome back to the latest edition of Sex and the Divine Design. I'm your host, Mookie Okan, also known as your orgasm's best friend. And you can learn more about me, or a lot about me anyway, at thepussytalks.com. That's www.thepussytalks.com. A warm welcome to my guest today, Ina Laughing Winds Mlekush. She'll tell me how to pronounce that properly. And a conversation about the art of love, passion, and understanding. God, Great Spirit, the Creator, perfected the complementary design of men and women. There is a divine intelligence in the natural differences. Ina helps individuals understand that sex education goes beyond the bedroom. It is your life force energy which promotes health and longevity. Ina coaches men to take pride in being a man and coaches women in experiencing the joy of being a woman. So welcome, Ina. It's wonderful to have you here.
Thank you, Mookie.
So I'd like to start, if you would share what you do, what are you up to at the moment? Because I know that you have a wealth of wisdom and experience in the realm of healing, especially in all forms of relationships and within a foundation of sexuality and spirituality. So what do you do?
Well, thank you for inviting me onto your program tonight, today. And I have been in private practice for over 27 years. I am a marriage, family, child counselor. I am a sex counselor, ASEC certified. That's the American Association of Sexual Educators, Counselors, and Therapists. I am a Shulakwe Kwadoshka teacher, and that is teachings of sacred sexuality that come out of the ancient Native American, Mayan, and Toltec. And in my private practice, over the last, I'd say 10, 15 years, I really have been focusing mainly on working with couples, men and women, as well as same-sex couples, and helping them to understand their differences, not only as a man and a woman, but if it is a same-sex couple, that there is an energy. One might carry a more masculine or more feminine energy.
Well, I love that you chose this topic because I know that it's such a key to empowering each other in all of our relationships. And so what is the differences, first of all, between the masculine and feminine?
Well, I mean, in some ways it's really, we know it's a silly statement because ask any man and he is going to tell you all the differences about women. And ask any woman or get a gaggle of women together, I love you women, and we are going to talk about how men are so different from us. The thing that we want to understand with our differences is that we don't make each other wrong for them. Differences do not make right or wrong. They're simply an expression of beauty. The sun is different than the earth. And if the earth did not have the sun projecting the heat deep into the core, into her magma, this would be a frozen planet and nothing would grow on it. And if the earth was not here to receive the heat of the sun, then the sun would be spewing the fire out into space, into nothingness. And so if we can look into nature and see that everything in nature has a male-female balance, from plants to animals. Every aspect of nature has a balance. And the same thing is true for men and women. And so we think differently. Our emotions are different. How we communicate is different. The things that are important to us are different. Now, there may be similarities, especially, as I said, a woman may be carrying a masculine energy, especially if she's out there in the work field and supporting herself. A man may carry more of a feminine energy if he has allowed himself to become that nurturing parent. And so we're not going to just focus on gender difference. We're going to focus on that there is actually an energetic difference in the universe, and it fits together perfectly.
And so I know that you have coached a tremendous number of people. So what are some of the ways that men come to you? Like, why do they come? Like, what are some of their, I'm just putting it in inverted commas, their issues? Like, mm-hmm. What are the things that the men are concerned about?
Well, as a marriage counselor and a sex therapist, I get a lot of men coming to work with me, especially those men who are now aging. And they're dealing with two issues. They're dealing with andropause, which is a loss of testosterone. And, of course, our culture doesn't talk about it. We talk about menopause for women, but not andropause for men. So with the loss of testosterone, they are not having the erections that they are used to and that help them to feel a man. So one of the main issues is their libido is dropped. They find they lose their erection mid-lovemaking. And this is very important to a man, and most women do not understand that a man's self-worth, his self-esteem, his prowess, his sense of who he is in the world comes from what we could say his first chakra or from his genitals. The other second issue that men come to me is that though they may be having sexual challenges, they still desire to be intimate with their wives. They still are wanting to make love, they're wanting the affection, and they're wanting to have intercourse, even if they're challenged. And the problem is, when women go through menopause, oftentimes we lose our libido, and it becomes a really good excuse not to have to continue being sexual. And so now we have a mature couple who has spent most of their life together, and she's done with having sex. And he is still a virile, viable, healthy male who wants sex and wants intimacy. And what is he to do if his beloved says no?
And that's almost the image making that we have in all of the media, like everything that we see, that the older you get, the less sexual you're going to be and or can be, that nothing really functions. But we know that that's so not so.
That is absolutely the image making for both men and women. And, you know, the way we are living now, they say the 60 is the new 40. And this is absolutely true. But it's always been this way. I can speak to an 80 or a 90-year-old client, and that 90-year-old client is still wanting to be sexual. Age is not a deterrent to being sexual. Our mental attitude and our upbringing and our indoctrination is the largest deterrent to maintaining the most important energy in the universe, which is our sexual energy.
And so you mentioned that women don't know how important, you know, that sexual connection is as a man ages. And then also there's that image of a woman that after she's gone through menopause, well, hey, baby, it's all over. So how do you educate women differently?
Well, first of all, let's not say all women, because
exactly.
You and I are not all women. And there's a lot of women out there who they are the ones who have a high sex drive. And it's the men with andropause and not being able to get erections that they now are pulling back and not wanting to be sexual because they are embarrassed or ashamed because they still can't be a man. And so, be it men or women, education is necessary. And so the largest sex organ we have is our mind. When we're younger, our hormones obviously are running the show. And as we mature and things settle down a bit, then keeping our sex life alive takes work. And we will dedicate a tremendous amount of energy into our careers, into raising children. And we think that our sex life is just going to take care of itself, and it doesn't. So educating women that even though their body is changing, that they can look into bioidentical hormone replacement therapy. They can look into natural products so that the vaginal walls can continue being lubricated. You know the old saying, Mookie, if you don't use it, you lose it? This is so true. And so for those women who have maintained a level of intimacy, they find as they mature and as their body changes, their body works just fine because they've been using it. The women who have stopped being sexual and have come to me and said they realize that they want to be sexual with their mates, with their partners, their lovers, their husbands, and it's been 5 years or 10 years, now we have to start doing something differently. There is different massages that help the vaginal area to relax. There are supplements that are not hormones that also can be used. And I do work with doctors, and I do refer to doctors and compound pharmacists to help my clients. But most importantly, it's the attitude. It is the attitude that our sexuality is our sensuality, is our spirituality. And that the more we can keep ourselves vibrantly alive, and that includes when we wake up in the morning and we go outside on one of these beautiful days and we feel the sun touch us and we allow it to be a sensual experience, or we smell a rose and we allow that to be a sensual experience, or some who enjoy sports or shooting competition, whatever the sport is, that can be a very erotic, sensual, energizing experience that we can then take home and share more intimately in the bedroom.
So I liked how you mentioned about the physical, because we've had quite a few conversations about physical prowess. Mm-hmm. So I think for a lot of people, a lot of listeners, they're hearing that term for the first time, and that is an absolute key to enlivening our sexual energy. So can you say a little bit about what physical prowess is?
Well, physical prowess, again, there's an attitude, but the attitude carries an action. If we look at even the house cat or the cougar or the large lion, there is a prowess to these sweet medicine animals. And looking at your own house cat, when it jumps, it doesn't matter how old that house cat gets, it can jump 10 times higher than its own height. And so physical prowess for a human being is an attitude that allows us to continue walking, swimming, dancing, that it takes us into a physical expression. Even if we are in a wheelchair, even if we are sick or challenged, that there is still a type of energy, exercise, isometric, that allows us to keep our edge. If we simply rest on our laurels, eventually this becomes a mundane, quiet, death-bringing life, because life is lived when we're on the edge, when we're excited, when we have a nervousness, when we get butterflies, when we do something new. There's a prowess to do anything new. And so there's many ways that we can hone our prowess, as long as there's an action to it, there's a doing to it.
And one little thing with one huge thing, that orgasm happens in the physical body, which can be from tips of the toes to the top of the head and all the way through. So from my yogic training, I know that if our anatomy and physiology is continually refined and uplifted through the physical and through moving the energy, whether it's through any of those activities you mentioned, that's a key to our sexual vitality.
It absolutely is, Mookie. And moving of the energy, have you ever just had a good laugh with a friend? Laugh so hard that your sides ached or tears were rolling down your eyes. That's actually an expression of an orgastic state.
Yes.
You can have your toes sucked on, and it will send orgone energy, and you can, orgone comes from Wilhelm Reich, and it's a knowledge that there is orgone energy in the universe, and that energy flows through us. And so when we talk about having an orgasm, most individuals, and this is what I have to educate, it's not just genitally focused. It may or may not have an erection for a man. A man can have a full orgasm with no erection, even no ejaculation. A woman can have a full orgasm without there being any direct stimulation to the clitoris. And so when we're talking about energy flowing through the body, we are also talking about the prowess. And with that energy can come full body orgasms that can take us right out the top of our head, the seventh chakra, and take us into an altered state, or what one might know as a meditative state. I know that there are folks listening to you and their orgasms have been so intense that their hands are tingling, their legs are tingling. They may even feel their body start to move into kind of an ecstatic shaking. And if no one has told them what that is, then they think something might be wrong, when in fact, that is an orgastic state, which is different than an orgasm. And all of these things help us to keep a prowess and to help us understand that men and women in many ways can experience these energies. And yet, the way we are going to make love, for a man, I am going to go to his first chakra or to his genitals almost immediately. Ladies, you cannot give men's beautiful, in our tradition, tapili, which comes out of the Kwadoshka tradition, or his genitals. You cannot give that enough attention. Men, do not go to a woman's genitals or her breasts. Caress her face. Put your hand on her heart chakra. Lay your hand, the warmth of it, on her belly. Do not touch her intimately. We are different. We want to get to the same place, a place of enjoying each other, feeling the desire for each other, but we get there very differently.
Yeah, I think that's a very important point in understanding the differences. And so can we talk a little bit more about how you had mentioned that foreplay is different for men and women? So I don't even like see it as foreplay. It's like all part of the whole orchestra. But what are some tips for men to know about how to open a woman?
Well, men, if you want to make love to your woman in the evening, foreplay starts in the morning. And it can start by a hug. It can start by a gentle caress. Now, you need to know your women, because some women do not want you to caress their face. They'd rather have a body hug. Some women do not want a hug, but they're okay with maybe moving their hair slightly. Leave a little note for them that when they open up their drawer, there's a little note that says something cute like, I can't wait to get into your panties, and put a little happy face on it. You can bring flowers home to her. Women are high maintenance, and ladies, I hate to say this, but for those of us who are not that high a maintenance, still relative to men, we're very high maintenance. We need attention, and that never goes away. So men, if you can just bite the bullet and you understand, buy cards, have the stack of cards so that you can leave her a little note, leave her a card. If you get home first, you can have a card on the table with some flowers. It doesn't matter if you buy the flowers at the grocery store or Costco, but acknowledging your appreciation of her, especially as we get older and our body changes, and, you know, with menopause, we gain a bit of weight. Now, with the more foreplay, you want to touch her whole body. You want to caress her arms, her face, her hair. You want to touch the side of her body, her legs. Have her lay on her belly, and just a gentle touching softness of her body. Now, I know some women are going to say they like a firm massage. That's fine. We're not talking about a massage. We're talking about foreplay. And so, men, take your time and slow down, because women do what we call diffuse thinking or multitasking. For us to get our brain in the mood to make love, we need to get our body present. And it's just the opposite for you men. Men, the minute you think you want to make love, every square inch of you is ready. Your mind is ready. Your body is ready. That's why I say, women, what you can do is you can go directly to the man's sacred masculinity, and you can give it as much attention and kisses and snuggles. And yes, you can still caress his body. You can still be gentle with it. He loves that also. But it won't hurt to keep one hand on his manhood. Men, do not leave your hand on her womanhood. Take both hands and gently caress her whole body until her legs begin to open, until she pulls you. If you really pay attention to a woman, she will non-verbally guide you. And if you're lucky and you have a woman who purrs for you and oohs and ahs and verbally guides you, well, you're one very lucky man. And ladies, please do this. Men so appreciate being guided.
That's so important what you spoke about, all over touch for a woman.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there is nothing that compares to that caress.
Mm-hmm.
Different pressures are all over the body, because so many, especially in younger days, I can recall feeling like a disembodied clitoris.
Yes.
So it's not about trying to rub as hard as possible on a woman's clitoris, but that's such a key, that overall body caress.
It is. And another mythology is that when a woman's wet, she's turned on. And Mookie, we know that different females have different anatomies. So there's some anatomies where they're wet almost all the time. There's other anatomy types where they tend to be very dry.
And that's genital anatomy types.
Genital anatomy types. Yes, it is. Thank you for that. And so, men, if a woman is wet, it doesn't necessarily mean that she's ready. It's a nice thing if she lubricates naturally, but it's always good to have many bottles of lubricant in hand's reach when you're making love. And so, ask your woman if you're not sure if she's ready, but her body will tell you, because the legs tend to open. She will verbally express herself to you. And women, don't always allow the men to be the initiator. You know, after 25 years, men get tired of being the initiators. And this is another issue that comes to me, is that the man says, I want to know that I am wanted, that my wife wants to make love to me and needs to make love to me. It is not just me needing her. And so as a man matures, there is more of a balance in that he now wants to be seduced. And so, ladies, you know, he loves us no matter what our physical body looks like. We have to get over how critical we are about ourselves and put on that lingerie he bought you 5 years ago that you've only worn once. Go buy something for yourself. Create an evening and let him know not to make other plans. Turn that doggone TV off and put some music on. And yes, it's work. You need to book it in the calendar. You may need to make a date first with yourself and a commitment, because you can write it in the calendar and then you can get nervous and scared and back out. Because what if you're not accepted? What if they reject you? Even though you've been married or in a relationship for many years, these fears are still present, especially if you don't talk about sex, and most couples do not.
So how do you encourage couples in your coaching to have more communication, talking about sex?
First of all, not in the bedroom. I suggest you get a cup of tea or coffee, and you sit in the front room or at the kitchen table, and you acknowledge that this is a difficult subject. If it is, you acknowledge and you speak truthfully, and that you really want to have an honest conversation, and that your intent is not to hurt the other, but for many people, that there's a sense of dying inside, and you can feel you're dying inside, and that you're desperately needing to do something to reignite the passion that you once had with each other. And so you talk quietly, you listen, and I often suggest you repeat the essence of what the other person said and not be in a rush to simply get your point out. That knowing you're heard is viable. It is what makes a difference between a couple who are good communicators and can resolve problems together, find the solution, that can negotiate and find a middle ground, versus those who end up fighting and are on the verge of breaking up because, after all, their sex life is not providing for them what they thought it would provide when they got married.
And so one of the important points that you mentioned, too, was about the woman going or touching, you know, the man's genital area or resting her hands. So a lot of women don't understand that about men.
a lot of women almost have an aversion because they think if I touch it, then he is going to want to have sex with me. And so there has to be an agreement, and that is, if I give your manhood more attention, if I fall asleep with my hand resting on your beautiful tepili, if during the middle of the day, if you come home and I unzip you and give you a little snuggle and then tuck you back in, that it's not going to be seen as teasing and torturing, but it's going to be seen as truly loving and offering attention. And how this works is that you make agreements that a lot of times, you know, you may not feel like making love. There's nothing wrong with that. And I suggest you verbally say, you know, honey, I really don't feel like making love, and let's go make love anyway. And then say, let's see what's going to happen. And within 10 minutes, even though your body did not have a clue that it wanted to make love, 10 minutes of making love, everything clicks in. And there's passion beyond belief, and you're wondering, where did this come from? So there needs to be agreements made that if a woman is going to give more attention, the kind of attention that a man would absolutely die for, that he would love to have, there needs to be agreement that it does not always lead to intercourse or a full ejaculation. It is simply a show of affection.
So the whole arena of agreements is such an important topic, and I know that we're heading to a break quite soon, so we can continue that after the break. But I want to let people know how they can contact you, Ina. Mm-hmm. So you can contact Ina. This is her phone number. It's 623-465-9151. And you can also email Ina, and this is her email address, ina@talktoina.com, and I'll spell that for you. That's ina@talktoina.com. And you can also get more information about this topic at Ina's website, www.spiritualsexuality.com. I'm going to spell that after the break. And so, as we head towards a break, if you're interested in sponsoring or advertising on our show, Sex and the Divine Design, which goes all around the world, you can email me at info@thepussytalks.com. That's info@thepussytalks.com, or call my executive producer, John Missel, at 480-294-6419. You're tuned in to Muki Okan on Sex and the Divine Design with Ina Laughing Winds Mlekush and the Art of Love, Passion and Understanding. We'll be back after the break.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now for your programs and services. Begin your journey. Enrich your world and your sexual well-being. It's the shortcut to success, sexual energy mastery, and beyond. Do it now. Muki is waiting for you. And if you want sexual well-being for humanity too, you're invited to contribute your unique skills to this private, nonprofit foundation. We need volunteers and interns for research, multimedia, admin, and more. Go to www.thepussytalks.com now. Humanity needs you.
Is the life you're currently living enough for you? Is it the life you once dreamt? What if you could change what's not working for you in the blink of an eye? Listen for The Bliss Edition, featuring Dr. Shelley Childers. We'll explore how your body and your life is created from everything that you think and say about it, including aging, disease, illnesses, pain, the good, the bad, and the ugly. What would it be like to live a life of ease, joy, and glory? The Bliss Edition is heard every Monday at 10 a.m. Pacific Time, 1 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Ask Theo Live is talk radio like you've never heard before. Following her near-death experience, world-renowned author and spiritual medium Sheila Gillette became the direct voice channel for Theo, a consortium of 12 archangels. Through this unique channel, Sheila and her co-host Marcus Gillette present you with an opportunity to speak directly with Theo live on air on any topic you wish to discuss, including receiving authentic messages from deceased loved ones and angelic guides. Get the answer you need by tuning in to Ask Theo Live Talk Radio, Tuesday mornings at 8 a.m. Pacific Time, 11 a.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network.
The Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
You are listening to Sex and the Divine Design with Mookie Okon. If you have a question or comment about today's program, please call in to 1-866-472-5795. That's 1-866-472-5795. Or send an email to info@thepussytalks.com. Now, back to Sex and the Divine Design.
Welcome back. This is your host, Mookie Okan, your orgasm's best friend, and I'm with Ina Laughing Winds and the Art of Love, Passion, and Understanding. And I wanted to let you know also that Ina does Skype and phone sessions because, of course, this is reaching across the globe, so you don't want to think that you're limited by your geography. You are not at all with this modern technology. Ina's number again is 623-465-9151. So we were speaking about the power of making agreements, and so we're going to share a little bit more about that. So that's a new concept for people when they're in a committed relationship, even about, well, what is this agreement thing and what difference is it for a man and for a woman?
Well, Mookie, I'm going to take it not just in a committed relationship, but even as we are dating, because we have a lot of men and women who are not in relationship listening to this, or they're entering into a relationship. And the thought of making agreements on the first or second date is a little bit outside of one's normal thinking. And yet, we need to understand that in the process of dating or in a long-term relationship, it's the nonverbal agreements that usually get us into trouble. It's the nonverbal agreements that we then can be upset, we can blame the other, this is what we argue about and fight about. Then we realize that we had never spoken about these agreements. So even when you are first dating, on the very first, and I would even suggest that you don't even make it a date, you just go get coffee, and so no one is spending too much money on the other person. And you talk about what is it that you're looking for. Are you looking for eventually to be married? Are you looking for just somebody as a friend to go places and do things with? Are you wanting to have more than one boyfriend or girlfriend? And is that okay? Because for most people, it's not okay to be dating multiple people. And for some, it's very okay. When we're in a relationship and we're needing to make agreements, usually we do not talk about any sexual agreements. We have or even sometimes money becomes a major issue. Sex and money are the two major causes of divorce because agreements have not been talked about. So when men or women are going to sit down, the first thing you want to do is don't do it when you're tired or your blood sugar is low or at the end of a heavy day. You want to really schedule some quality time so that it could be a very enjoyable process. Now, when a woman wants to make agreements, the tendency is she's going to tell a long story about why she needs it, what has happened in all of her other relationships, what she is afraid of. And this is how women tend to talk. We talk in stories, and for a very good reason. It's how our brain is hardwired. Because if we, just a little segue here, if we go back to cavewoman time, we had to leave the cave and with the baby on the hip, remember where the berry bushes were in the meadow that were ripe this week, ripe next week, and which ones were poisonous so we didn't pick the wrong ones. So we remember things by telling and creating stories, word association. When men left the cave and they went hunting. They were single-focused, and they're going to get the deer, get the deer, get the deer. They have one thought, and everything else gets discounted. So now bring it to modern time. We're sitting down, and we're wanting to make an agreement. So the first thing, if the woman begins, and she's telling the story, the man is saying, what's the point? What's the point? He is getting frustrated because he doesn't know why she's telling him this huge, long story. So women, we need to learn how to be more concise. We're not going to change our storytelling style because, like I said, literally our brain is hardwired. It's how God created us. It works perfectly. And we just need to learn how to be a little more concise with, honey, I would like to sit down. There's some issues that have come up. It's very difficult for me to talk about it. It's concerning our sex life. But I'd like for us to talk and make some agreements about our sex life. For a woman to be that concise is going to take some work. Now, men, you tend to be I say men are simple sophistication. They use the fewest words necessary to get across the greatest depth. And so when she says this, then he goes, okay. And that's it. And for a woman, okay, she starts interpreting it. It can mean a lot of different things. So men, help your woman out. Say, okay, I think it's a good idea. I also have had some concerns about our sex life. Thank you for bringing this up. By you adding a whole sentence or two, this makes her feel safe. It makes her feel like she can proceed. And when you give us these short, very cryptic answers, though it's fine with the men friends in your life, and they know exactly what you mean, what it means to us women is that we've done something wrong, that you're not disclosing or sharing with us more. And if we feel we've done something wrong, it's going to be hard for us to speak our heart and open up. So the very first thing is just understanding we have a communication style difference. And so we need to recognize that and then assist each other. So men, you might say to your wife, honey, can I interrupt you for a moment? And can you put what you're trying to tell me, can you make it a little shorter? Can you give me those cryptic notes, you know, when we're in college? And ladies, rather than getting hurt and going and withdrawing, because that's what we do, we don't let them in know we've been hurt, you just need to say, you know, honey, as a woman, I need for you to give me a sentence or two, and that I'd appreciate that. And men will do anything for us. When a man loves a woman, He will do anything for us. He'll work two jobs. He will work himself to death. He will stand in front of a car and push us out of the way. He literally will die for us. And we don't realize that in today's day and age. And so women, there are so many little things that men do that we don't realize they're really doing for us. And the same thing, men, when we women are exhausted and we're in the grocery store and we're ready to check out and we realize we forgot, we wanted to get you your favorite ice cream, we will walk to the far end of the store to get you that ice cream. And then that night, when you're eating it, you don't even think twice that we bought you your favorite ice cream. So showing appreciation is something we need to do when we make agreements. We need to acknowledge each other. We need to show appreciation. We need to show honor and respect of each other. In making agreements, to say, appreciate the pain the other person's in, or the sorrow, or the sadness. And then to apologize if need be. Apology doesn't necessarily mean you did anything wrong, but you're saying, I'm sorry you're hurting. I'm sorry.
So communication, clear and honest and authentic communication, is a key to being able to create an abundant, juicy sexual life, would you say?
Communication is the key. It's the foundation for a very healthy sex life with your partner, for working out problems with raising children, with the job market the way it is and the stress and people losing their homes. And if they do not have a good communication base, then it just magnifies the dysfunction and the unhappiness. With a good communication base, people can survive anything.
And I think we, each of us, men and women, we need to, well, speaking as a woman, first of all, to learn how to communicate in a way that's not making the man wrong, or, you know, when we're bitter or resentful or all of that. Like we have the capacity to use our feminine wisdom to communicate in a way that's actually going to reach the man. Because I've noticed often a woman will say, oh, he didn't, whatever the thing mm-hmm. is. And I say, well, mm-hmm. actually, the only problem here is the way you communicated didn't communicate to him. So what's another way that you could approach?
What you just shared is very important. I think it's true for both men and women. Listen to the voice tone. Listen to if you have an attitude. That's why I say don't try to sit down if your blood sugar is low or you're tired, because the tendency is you're going to be more short-tempered. And so rather than pointing the finger at the other person, we always need to take responsibility, be spiritually accountable for ourselves, assume authority. What am I trying to say? How am I saying it? How is it being taken? Ask how questions. They will give you much more information on how to self-correct and spiritually evolve. And so if there is a past in a woman's life, and one out of every three women, and I believe it's actually higher, has had some kind of rape or molestation or violence. And so unless there has been a healing, and the healing doesn't take place because you've done therapy for a year or 2 years. Healing is something that happens throughout your entire life, because there will be a thread that could be traced back to that disrespect and that violation. And so you do not want to now you become the perpetrator and make your husband or your boyfriend wrong or the victim of your victimization. And so it's very important, men, for you to understand that oftentimes the way a woman is behaving is because that in her history there actually has been sexual violence. And so this is something at a very deep level that we need to heal in the entire planet. But until that time comes, and we are in the process of that healing, women, remember that you have a masculine side. And so you want to communicate to your man as respectfully as you want your self to be respected, and to connect from your masculine side with how you would like to be spoken to. Men, the same thing, that you want to speak respectfully. There are times, men, when you men get together and you can talk in such a way and such an energy, it's over the top for us women. It's way too much. And so what you think is normal conversation, to us, you're yelling at us. To us, we think everything we do is wrong. And so, men, when you see us get a hurt expression, rather than rolling your eyes of frustration because a man would understand, just stop and say, honey, did I just hurt your feelings? And I didn't mean to. And so understanding that we are different, and that God, Great Spirit, made us different for a reason. Our differences are beautiful. We fit so well together when I can honor who I am as a woman and allow my femininity to be present. Now, when I'm working and I have to be focused and get the job done, I'm in my masculine side. So when I come home, I need to shift. I need to either put on a dress or take a shower, but I need to consciously shift into my feminine. And men, it's important that when you come home, you too need a transition time. And so, men, you might have jumped into your feminine side because you want to get laid. And so you're going to do almost anything to appease us in order that your sexual needs are met. What's important is, men, that you honor who you are as a man, and you are strong and stand strong in your masculinity, and women, that we stand in our power and beauty and our femininity, and we fit together beautifully.
So that goes right back to the image of the sun and the earth. And, you know, one of the pieces of our episode today is the art also of love and passion. So a lot of men and women I come across say that they're lacking in passion. So how do you coach anyone that comes to you?
Well, first of all, passion, again, is a state of mind. And I invite people to slow down. that we live such a busy life, it's very difficult to get passionate. Now, you know, we can get passionate about a football game, a baseball game. We can get passionate about a party or what dress we're going to go buy. But that's not the kind of passion we're talking about. I'm talking about the kind of passion that is deep inside our being, that awakens our soul, and that brings about a connection to spirit, so that when we're connected with our passion, it is like our lovemaking becomes a prayer. And that prayer is something that is spiritual, that there's nothing on the planet, no activity that takes the place of what happens when two people come together and their hearts are open and their minds are open and they are honest in their needs and their desires and in their expression. And the passion that comes from that increases the overall energy, and it awakens us to a level of consciousness that is beyond what we have been taught. This is where sacred sexuality, where the Shulukwe, Kwadoshka spiritual sexuality workshops, and I'm one of the facilitators, this is where that teaching allows people to understand there's so much more to being a sacred sexual human being than just what happens to procreate and continue the species of the human race.
And it seems to be quite a common theme in our lack of well-being in the general community, where men and women might have like low vitality. And we know from the Kwadoshka practices that we need to have balance physically, and mentally, emotionally, spiritually, but the sexual energy is the catalyst.
So and physically.
And physically, right. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. The five aspects of us as a human being. So in your practice, when someone comes to you who's out of balance, mm-hmm. and who says they have no desire, they have no fire, what's something that you would say to a man? What's something that you would coach a woman in?
Well, of course, I'm going to be a bit of a detective and ask questions, because I'm also going to see, is this person tremendously underweight, or are they tremendously overweight? Because this absolutely impacts our self-worth, our self-esteem. It impacts our energy. I need to find out if they are doing any kind of physical exercise. Are they connected spiritually? And I'm not talking about just going to church, but I'm talking about, are they applying their choice, their religious choice, their spiritual choice? Are they applying it on a daily basis? Do they pray? Are they asking for Great Spirit to help them and to guide them? I am looking to see where the pain is in their past, because many men and women do come in with broken hearts, or maybe a beloved wife or husband who has died. And now they are getting to the point where they're ready to start dating. They're ready to go back out there, and they don't know how to do that, and their confidence. And so there's so many areas for, like you said, emotional, mental, physical, spiritual, sexual, for them to understand that they are a whole human being, and that to have and to know that their sexuality is natural and it's sacred and there's nothing wrong with it, and to think about making love, to look at a sunset or a sunrise. One never says, oh, Mother Nature is too beautiful. You don't look at Mother Nature. Men are naturally visual. They are going to look at a beautiful woman, and we should stop making them wrong for it. Women naturally feel, they feel the lightning storm, they feel the energy, and we should not make ourselves wrong because of what we feel. So women naturally feel, we're Mother Earth. Men are the sun, so they see. So these aspects of ourself, in my private practice, we need to explore them and talk about them, and I like to move quickly. I don't believe in keeping someone in therapy for months, let alone years. So this is something where I say, let's get to work. If you want to work, if you want to grow and really become awake, aware, alert, spiritual, sexual, physically healthy, then let's move. And I'm very direct. And my clients seem to like that about me.
Yes, excellent. And so one of my teachers talks about how when someone does have impotence or frigidity. Actually, we don't really hear that term, but frigid, you know, not low sexual energy, low voltage, that it is that they're low in their prana shakti, like being able to feel their own internal energy moving through the body. So I know that that's, you take the overall person in your coaching to see how to bring that voltage up.
You know, in that voltage, and I just had a gal come to my private practice. She was in her 50s before she had her first orgasm. And she is saying, before I die, I am going to learn how to have orgasms. And what I discovered was actually she was very orgastic. She had tremendous amount of energy running through her body, but she didn't know what it was because no one has ever educated her. People do not tend to go outside of their normal box of learning to actually educate themselves sexually. And I am working with her so she can communicate to her partner, and she communicates very well about what her physical body is needing. And so that life force energy is something that so many people don't even realize that they are experiencing it because they're mislabeling it. And so what we eat, how much we eat, when we eat, the kind of exercise, our attitude, our spiritual relationship, and when was the last time you were sexual? When was the last time you self-pleasured? And I prefer using the term self-pleasure to masturbation. Self-pleasure is a more descriptive word. I am bringing pleasure to myself. And many people feel that self-pleasuring, there's something wrong with it, that it is that they should not do it because when they were infants, they probably got their hands slapped. But the fact of the matter is that self-pleasuring is a beautiful way for us to heal ourselves and to increase our energy and to build the energy. I ask my male clients who tend to self-pleasure quickly not to do that because it produces early or premature ejaculation. But a minimum of 20 to 30 minutes for any self-pleasuring session. And to truly make love to yourself. This is not just releasing tension. You can self-pleasure at nighttime to relax and take yourself into the dream and sleep peacefully. You can self-pleasure first thing in the morning as a kickstart to wake up and get your mojo going for the day. And so the self-pleasuring is a wonderful way. And even men, if you do not get erections, that doesn't stop you from bringing pleasure to yourself through the stimulation of your sacred tapele, your sacred manhood. And so understanding that pleasure can come in many different ways, and with pleasure comes energy, and with energy comes a better life. And there's many ways for us to cultivate energy, just as there's many ways to cultivate a plant growing.
Yes, and that self-pleasuring is really a way for a man and woman to get to know their own body and taking it out of just tension release and using friction to feel, but really using relaxation and awareness. And for men, I like to use the term genital caress. So it's actually a caressing, feeling, absolutely everything touching where you normally wouldn't when you just want to have a quick release. So it's because you're feeling stressed out. And the same goes for women. Like the more that we can self-pleasure in a way to know our bodies, then we can give better quality information to our partners,
it's
for sure.
Very true.
And I know that we're coming to the end of our program, but before we close, I want to mention that I also do coaching in person and Skype on phone. And then there are some events coming up for Kwadoshka, the first level Kwadoshka program for singles and couples. That's June 7th to the 10th here in Phoenix. And you can find out more information about both those things at thepussytalks.com, www.thepussytalks.com. And you can also learn about the Sexual Healing Center there. So remember, you never change things by fighting the existing reality. To change something, build a new model that makes the old model obsolete. Buckminster Fuller said that. And if you've enjoyed Ina Laughing Winds, you can contact her through me or call her at 623-465-9151 or email ina@talktoina.com. INA@talk tina.com. So I want to thank Ina for being my wonderful guest.
Thank you, Mookie. I very much enjoyed being here.
And I always love to close. Oh, but I also want to remind everyone, first, you can always listen to this show online anytime and download a free MP3 from iTunes. And both Ina and I would love you to pass this on to all of your friends and neighbors.
Yes.
Because it's important that we learn about these differences. And I'd love to close the program with this quote. And this is from a book called Wild Attraction, and it's written by Paul and Patricia Richards. And what they say is this: each gender must forever wield the fire that most fascinates the other. Women need men who will provide sophisticated and positive attention. And men want women who will provide sexuality and charge. And so, listeners, that truly is the divine design. So come back for more of Sex and the Divine Design. I look forward to the future.
Thank you again for tuning in. Please join Mookie Okon for another edition of Sex and the Divine Design next Wednesday at 7 p.m. Eastern Time, 4 p.m. Pacific Time on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. We'll see you here next week.
Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the 7th Wave Network. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit 7thwavenetwork.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live Internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the hosts or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.